This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Well, on the men's side of things for basketball around here, it didn't live up to the hype. I know the Buffs, you know, made it interesting against UCLA last week. CSU made it interesting against San Diego State, but and the Buffs will play in the NIT tonight. But you know, as far as dreaming of several March Madness teams on the men's side, I didn't get any of them. Bears didn't get there either. But the women's side was at least exciting throughout the course of the season. How about the Colorado Buffaloes? Brian Howell joining us from the Buff Zone. Brian, big one coming up, man, as we're going to see at least one of our local area teams in March Madness this weekend.
Yeah, the CU women are heading down to Durham, North Carolina to, you know, back-to-back NCAA tournaments for the first time in 19 years. So, you know, J.R. Payne's got that program rolling, and you know, they've got a good shot. You know, hopefully they can get through the first round and make something interesting out of this.
Yeah, talk to us about that first round matchup. Is that going to be on? Is that going to be on Saturday, Brian?
Yeah, Saturday night, 5 p.m. Mountain, and it's on ESPN News, I believe. So it'll be interesting. They're playing Middle Tennessee, which won Conference USA. CU's never played them before, and it's a team that, you know, like CU, plays good defense, but they chuck up a lot of three-pointers and get to the foul line a lot. So they're one of the nation's leaders in both three-point shots and foul shots. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they play. They're not real big, and CU might be able to take advantage of that because they have two really good bigs in Quay Miller and Arnett Vonleh, so maybe they can take advantage of that. But it's going to be an interesting matchup, I think.
Brian, how, you know, what was it that went into this season? I mean, so many special players, and as you said, the coaching staff, a lot of things got to go right for you to have more than 20 games, set yourself up to get into this tournament in the first place. But, you know, what has it been collectively for this this Buffs team in order to get into March Madness?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really been years worth of building a program, and, you know, they got there last year finally for the first time in 9 years. They lost three of their top leaders and really their best player. Maya Hollingshead was a first-round pick in the WNBA draft last year. And so I thought this was probably a tournament team, but maybe not as good as last year. They ended up being better than last year because they wound up just getting a lot of players that stepped up and played better than last year. And they added Arnett Vonleh as a transfer from Arizona. Her brother played in the NBA, actually had a cup of coffee with the Nuggets, Noah Vonleh. So, you know, she's come in and been tremendous. So getting all that together and really just a real team unit has, you know, come together and made this even better than last year.
Yeah, we're excited to see what they can do coming up this weekend against Middle Tennessee. As Brian mentioned, tip-off at 5 o'clock. Should be on ESPN News. So we're looking forward to that one. Brian, I mean, it's never an off-season anymore with primetime. When it comes to football, it used to be that way with the Broncos. Now it's primetime. We got ESPN. It's confirmed, set to broadcast the Buff spring football game. What are we looking at? 35,000 so far going to plan on being there for this game?
Yeah, 35,000 sold, and the game's still more than a month away. I mean, that's insane. And, you know, I mean, last year there was 1,950 people. That was the estimate, and it was free. So, you know, the fact that there's 35,000 tickets sold, they haven't sold tickets since the 80s. To the spring game because nobody ever really wants to go anyway. And, you know, for them to have 35,000 is incredible. And the fact that they're on ESPN is cool, but then they're the only spring game around the country that's going to be on the main ESPN network, which is amazing.
That just blows my mind. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, my producer's an Alabama guy. We have the Alabamas of the world. We have all these great teams, the Georgias and all that. And yet we're looking at the Buffs that's going to get at least a big focus, maybe most of the focus, at least for the spring portion here. And it's obviously it's not like it's unwarranted. You know, primetime's great, but you're bringing in big-time names. We're seeing big-time names coming in, big-time transfers and recruits. So on paper, why not cover this team to the highest point on ESPN?
Yeah, you know, and clearly, you know, I mean, Georgia is obviously the national champion. They're the best team in the country the last couple of years, and they're on ESPN, too, their spring game. But the Buffs have got to be – I mean, this signals they might be the most intriguing team in the country, right? Because there's a lot of curiosity about what is Deion Sanders going to look like at the Power 5 level? What's he actually doing in Colorado? And I don't think a lot of people are that interested in University of Colorado football. It's more of what's going on with Deion Sanders and how can he turn this thing around? And this is what Rick George and the administration up there kind of banked on when they hired him. Is like, we got to make a splash. You know, we got to win the offseason first, and they've done that.
No question. I mean, it's been as good as advertised so far, everything that's gone into it. And we'll see what happens when they actually get out there on the football field next fall. But right now, I mean, this is an interesting one, Brian. A guy up in the Fort Collins area in the Colorado, Kevin Lytle, he put together kind of a quick little hit about the attendance and what primetime's doing. And there were a lot of Rams fans that were not thrilled with that. The fact that, hey, this is a Rams-type newspaper, and here on the cover, we got to highlight the Buffs here. From your perspective, Brian, because I saw this and I wanted to ask you, because there was a lot of people who are like, Buff Zone would never put up a story about the Rams attendance. I don't know, man. If the Rams hired some big name, some gigantic name, comes to CSU, it blows it up, we're going to see 35,000 at their spring game. Isn't that news statewide, or is that something, Brian, you personally, your paper, your guys aren't touching that because it's Ram stuff?
No, we would. I think we would put that up there. And, when Jay Norvell was hired, we put something
up. Sure.
When, Pac-12 hires are made, we put that up. And so, I think that, at least for us, like, we view that our audience is not just Buff fans, but college football fans. And so, we want them to know what's going on. With not only the Rams, maybe not so much the last couple of years because they haven't played the Rams, but there's still that interest. And, we want people to know what's going on around the Pac-12 and with the Rams.
Well, and again, it's statewide news. Now, maybe Rams fans don't want to hear about the backup tight end or something like that, but this is... To me, this story, the story that you put together here covering and outlining this whole thing with ESPN, with the 35,000, what we're looking at there as far as numbers, that is bigger than the actual X's and O's of the game, meaning that kind of thing can really help grow football throughout the entire state. And if I'm a Rams fan, I'm thinking, dude, build it up. Make the Buffs the most popular team in the state, in the country. And then if we somehow can knock them off, look what that does for us. I think it's great for the entire state.
Yeah, exactly. And you think about it, if CU gets off to a good start, either way, I think. But, I mean, that CSU game is going to have a ton of eyes on it around the country because it's still going to be one of Deion's first three games. And so there's going to be a lot of eyes on the Rams in that week three game. And, yeah, if you're the Rams, go out and beat them, And imagine the headlines you get nationally if you beat Deion's team. And, especially if they're like 2-0 and the Rams can get a win there in Boulder, that'd be pretty impressive.
We're on the same page, Brian. You and I are on the same page. This is why it works, because I've been saying this. I don't necessarily have a dog in the fight. Yeah, you know me. I probably do a lot more CSU stuff because I live in Fort Collins than I do with CU.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for all of these. We're talking about it all. And if they're great and if it's entertaining, my goodness, it makes talk radio better. It makes your articles better. It makes everything better in the state. And nationally, people start to really put some focus on this. And I remember 5-6 years ago, Brian, I saw several national writers just making fun of the Rocky Mountain Showdown. I don't want that to happen anymore. I want it to be relevant.
Yeah, and I cover the Buffs, but I grew up in Littleton, and I've always been a fan of all the teams around here. And I want CSU to do well. I mean, the Rocky Mountain Showdown was at its best during the Sonny Lubick era when it was, those Lubick teams versus the, Gary Barnett teams that were both a lot of fun to watch and really good teams. And, I want CSU to be, an 8 to 10 win team every year and, be, doing some things nationally and going to bowl games and competitive with the Buffs, things like that. It's more fun that way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Brian, tonight, the Buffalo's men's side of things, they're in the NIT first round. That's going to be on ESPN2 tonight at 9 o'clock, I believe, going up against Seton Hall. Man, what a weird season it was for CU. At the beginning of the season, I thought there was just some inconsistencies, but they were overall a really good team. Then they had some stints there where, you know, lost games, you thought they should have won, and then right when I start writing this team off, they battle, they start playing really well toward the, down the stretch. I thought they might even upset UCLA. I still don't think we figured out the Buffs, and it might just be that was the season that was. We couldn't figure out the Buffs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this was a team that at the start of the year and even in November, I said this is going to be a better team in March and February than they are now, and I'm not sure they are. I think they were just kind of the same team all year that, you know, it was in November they beat Tennessee in Nashville, and then, you know, a couple months later they lose to Cal. I mean, Cal won three games this year. One of them was against the Buffs. And what a schizophrenic year they've had, and, you know, that's why, you know, when I've been asked, how do you think the Buffs could do in this NIT, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they're good enough to go out and make a deep run in this tournament, but they're also, you know, a team that could very much bow out tonight. So, you know, I don't know which Buffs team is going to show up from game to game.
Yeah, I don't either. KJ Simpson, is he still out? I mean, I know he had mono through the tournament last week. So, what's the status there?
I don't know his full status, although, you know, I understand he has not practiced, and so you know, my colleague who covers the men's team, Pat Rooney. We were talking yesterday. He said he'd have a hard time seeing KJ actually play because he hasn't practiced. And when you're coming off a mono and you haven't practiced, that might be tough to do. So, you know, Julian Hammond's done a great job filling in for KJ, though. And I don't think there's been much drop-off. So I think the Buffs are okay without KJ. But I don't think we're going to see him. Maybe potentially a second-round game if they get there or a third round. But I doubt we'll see him tonight.
9 o'clock tonight, ESPN2. They are 4-point favorites in this game. How are we feeling about that one, Brian?
I feel good about it. You know, I think this team, again, I don't know which team is going to show up, but I mean, there are times that they kind of, you know, show up at home and they'll play like, wow, okay, that's the team we thought. And I'm hoping for Tad Boyle and his staff that this team does that and goes out and looks at this NIT as an opportunity to get better and, you know, gain some experience because they could really make that into that this year. Or maybe they just go out and say, you know what, we're kind of done with this year.
Yeah, I mean, that technical that Tad had the other day, too, I mean, I don't know. In my brain, I'm just running through the entire season that was, and I don't blame the guy. I'd be frustrated, too, with how things have went.
You know, if I'm him, I'm kicked out two or three times.
I know, me too, man. I don't know how these guys, some of these guys keep their cool. Brian, appreciate you so much, my friend. I know you'll be bringing us stories throughout the week, of course, on the women's game coming up on Saturday. And, of course, everything we're going to need on the football side, because now that prime time's here, your workload probably just get a little crazier because there's always some kind of news surrounding this football team.
Yeah, there's always something in hey, as I've always said, it's not going to be dull, and it has not been dull.
No doubt about it, my man. Brian, appreciate you, dude, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Brian Howell of Buff Zone, covering all things Colorado Buffaloes. There you go. You got the source right there saying, yeah, if the roles were reversed and CU had, or CSU had hired a big-time coach like Primetime, a big-time name coach, I should say, and they were breaking news that it was going to be on ESPN and 35,000 people would be there, yeah, they'd be on the It'd probably be on the front page. That'd probably be a big story. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick on Gel and get the latest on the local sports flash.